Please join me in a word of prayer. God of grace and mercy, we come to you today humbled by this opportunity to just freely worship you. We know that you are breaking new ground in us and around us, and we thank you that you have shown us the light. Help us to carry that light to a world who desperately needs it. Lord, as we listen to the words today, give us the courage to receive whatever message you might have. It may be something that I had not even planned for, but Holy Spirit, come in this time. We ask all of this and more in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So if you follow the church calendar, if you follow the lectionary, the several seasons and holidays that we have throughout the church year, you would know that this morning is a celebration, a recognition of the baptism of Jesus Christ. That means that this morning we're going to spend some time talking about baptisms, of course. And we're also going to spend some time in remembrance of baptism, both our own baptism and Jesus' baptism. Now, I understand that discussions about baptism can and will raise many questions, really, about our own faith journey. The how, the when, the why. You know, do we dunk, do we dip, do we sprinkle, do we dry clean? There's all of these different ways and methods. I've heard of people doing baptism. And what I want you to know that I am fully prepared to answer any questions you might have, any arguments you want to engage in, any conflicts you might have. You are more than welcome to send me an email, and that email address is PastorMaryAnn@livingfaith.com. So, yeah, sorry, Pastor Marianne. So this message will serve to celebrate the fruit of baptism as a sacrament. And I've been asked by many people if baptism is really important. You know, why? What's the big deal? Do we really need to get baptized? I mean, is it really that important? I've had people ask me that even before I entered into seminary, but especially now that I'm in seminary as a seminary student and an intern pastor. And I only have thought of two words to answer that question anytime it's been asked of me. And what I say is Jesus did. As our Lord and Savior, as our example on how to live and love, Jesus did. And that's all I really have to say about that question. So if you do have, after hearing this sermon, if you do have questions, and I fully understand that there may be people here today that have not yet been baptized. And we would love to talk to you further about what baptism is. So I would invite you to meet with us so that we can do that. So knowing that we're going to spend some time with baptism, I think it's really important for us to know or to answer the question of what is baptism. So to answer that question, I've gone to my second favorite book, which is called the Book of Concord. The Book of Concord is a book that was written by Martin Luther and Philip Melanchthon, two reformers, to kind of educate us. It's where the small catechism is located in the Book of Concord, to educate us about Lutheran confessions. So I went to the Book of Concord, and here's what Martin Luther has told us about what baptism is. Baptism is not simply plain water. Instead, it is water that is enclosed in God's command and connected to God's word. So what word might that be, you ask? And again, you guys ask really good questions. This is where our Lord says to us, and these are familiar words, "Go into all the world, teach all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Holy Trinity." Baptism is instituted by Christ. That makes it a sacrament. And that is where our theological lesson really comes to a close for this morning. What I really want to talk about is how we can recognize what our baptism means to us and even more importantly, how we can wear our baptism. The title for this morning's sermon, Wearing Our Baptism. So, I have to be honest with you, I've always been really excited when I get a new job if there is a uniform involved. I know it sounds crazy. I mean, I started delivering pizzas when I was in college. The uniform shirt, I was in the service. All of these places I've been, even in water treatment, I was given a uniform. And uniforms really, really got me excited because when you wear a uniform, you know, whether it's delivering pizza or any of those things, when you wear a uniform, it helps you feel like you're part of something that's bigger, part of a greater thing. Whether it's an organization or a foundation, when you wear this uniform, you seem to be, in a sense, held accountable for your behavior and for your performance. All of the uniforms that we wear when we're working for organizations, all of those uniforms we wear on the outside. So really, deep on the inside, we still continue to hold our own personal ideas, values, and ethics. I'm sure that many of the big companies that issue uniforms would really like for you to adopt their culture really, really deep inside. Maybe even to change the way you live, the way that you see the world. That's what a lot of organizations would like for you to do, but more often than not, that's simply not the case. It's frequently the case that a uniform that we wear is more like a veneer. It's just on the outside. It just remains on the surface. We may exhibit some pride and perhaps even a sense of authority when we wear that uniform. But at the end of the day, we take off that uniform and with it, we remove the expectations that it carries. Though baptism may be a decision that we make as an individual, or perhaps someone cared enough to make that decision for us as an infant, baptism does not set us apart. Rather, it does something even more powerful. It draws us into community. Like a uniform, baptism identifies us, not as elite, not as individual, but that each one of us is a part of the body of Christ. That we are God's, that we are in community with Christ. And in community, we do much more. We join a much larger family. So when we're baptized, when the baptism is done, the pastor will usually say, I want to introduce to you the newest member of the family of God. I've been asked by families if I would be willing to baptize family members in private events, after hours, late in the evening. And it's usually at that time that I explain to them the significance of entering into baptism with the community of God. In community, we find support, we find teaching, we find love, and we find accountability. So whose community are we drawn into when we're baptized? Please give me a minute, and the text won't be on the screen, but just listen to these words from Isaiah about what community it is that we're entering, whose community we are entering. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the rivers, they will not, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring you offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, Do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. What beautiful words that speak to how much God loves us. What God has been willing and has done for us. And those things are done, again, deep inside of us, but they're also done in community. Jesus does love us, and Jesus is prepared to leave the 99 when we stray, and boy, do we stray. Even while we're in community, even while we are given this garment of baptism as a sacrament, we're still going to do that thing that we do, and that thing is called sin. When we are joined to the body of Christ, we are able to leave behind our sin and that other life. All of those things that speak against God's will for us, in baptism, were made new. You may have heard the expression, the means of grace. Those ways that God has provided for us to know that we are loved. Even though we're both saint and sinner. The means of grace are God's word, the body and blood of Jesus Christ we receive in communion, and holy baptism. Brothers and sisters, God has given us a way back. Even when we look away, even when we doubt, even when we fear. If there's one thing that we are good at in life, it really is forgetting things. I've been keeping a journal for about 15 years, and I'm thankful because through that journal, I'm able to see the way that God has worked in my life, the way that God has listened to my prayers and responded in the way that God would. So much of what we do in our worship service serves as a reminder, and consider the words of institution for Holy Communion. Do this for the remembrance of me. We are called to remember our baptisms daily. And even in worship, a liturgical tradition was developed in order that we may revisit and remember our baptisms. And this is going to be the fun part, maybe just for me. So let me be clear about one thing. Only one baptism. Even as an intern, I have been approached about questions regarding rebaptism. We are called to remember and celebrate our baptism. But your baptism does not weaken over time or become invalid at any time. Baptism remains forever, and we always have access to it. So back to our liturgy, our order of worship. A means was created to celebrate baptism while remembering its amazing power in our lives daily. And because we are today celebrating the baptism of our Lord, I've decided that this would also be a great opportunity for us to do the same, to celebrate our baptism. So I hear from my supervisors, Pastor Frank and Pastor Marianne, this is your chance to try new things. Don't be afraid. This is a great place to try new things. And don't worry, I've gotten permission for this next thing that we're about to do. So the real question is, do all of you trust me? Okay. So I got about 10% trust.
I think that came from your father.
Yeah, my parents said they were the loudest ones probably, yeah. Some of you may have experienced this beautiful tradition in the past, and it's called asperges. And it is the sprinkling of the congregation. And it is a liturgical rite. The practice is observed by many faith traditions, including the Lutheran Church. It can be a part of church ceremony. It can occur at many different times during the worship service. I really searched high and low for the correct items to allow us all to experience this asperges. And I could really be saying that wrong, but I think that that's correct. So fortunately, I was able to find what I was looking for. So I've brought a couple things with me today for worship. This is called an aspergillium. And you might want to take a guess at what this is for.
right?
Sweeping the floor.
Uh-huh, not really, Kurt. And then I've also brought my own towel from my baptism from 1973, because there's a good chance that I could get some water around. So for me, this is an opportunity to not only to exercise this right, but for each one of us to celebrate and to remember this baptism that is deep within us. And you can see, and thank you, Carl, for bringing the baptismal font this morning. So what we'll do is we'll say a prayer, because it is with water and word that water goes from being ordinary water to extraordinary water. So if you're sitting in the splash zone, no, it won't be that bad. I understand we have relatively slippery floors, so I'm going to try and be as conservative as possible with the water. But what I'd invite you to do as we pray over this water and as I walk through the congregation is to take moments to think about your baptism. What does your baptism mean to you? And if you haven't been baptized, think about what baptism could mean to you. Caroline, can I get your help again? Please, thank you. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, Creator of all life, of body and soul, we ask you to bless this water. As we use it in faith, forgive our sin and save us from all illness and the power of evil. Lord, in your mercy, give us living water, always springing up as a fountain of salvation. Free us, body and soul, from every danger, and admit us to your presence in purity of heart. Grant this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So this is a good time for quiet reflection. And if you happen to feel the water drops, I pray that they are gentle and refreshing. So let's take this moment to meditate together. Lord, we thank you for holy baptism. We thank you for waters that renew, waters that restore. Be with us, give us strength and courage as each and every day we walk in your will and in your way. Gracious God, cover us with our baptism. Cover us with grace. Cover us with love. Lord, we come to you today weak, but we know where we can find our strength. Thank you for giving us Jesus, your Son, to give us new life. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.